今天这个主日很有意思，是地处一个两个国家的建国日。
This Sunday happens to be right in the middle of two national holidays.
中华民国好像是1911年的双十节，再下一周要得了。
The Republic of China.
然后中华人民共和国上个星期我们过了。
And the People's Republic of China. Their national birthdays, as it were.
当你来看的时候，我们今天这段经文也是有关节期的。
And this passage also takes place in the middle of one of the Jewish high holy days.
起因是人耶稣应该在哪里过节
？And the reason it became an issue was because Jesus was being asked to attend.
这个祝棚节一般是在九月、十月份的这个农历，就是犹太历秋后以后的一个节日，纪念神在旷野中的带领。
The Feast of Tabernacles is one taking place during the harvest in remembrance of God's providence when the Israelites were wandering in the desert.
按照旧约就是三大节期之一，他们必须要到圣城去过节的。
This is one of the three high holy days in which all Jewish men are required to go to Jerusalem.
除了这段对话以外，还有一段对话是耶稣跟这个犹太人当局和群众的一段对话。
So there's also another dialogue between Jesus and the people.
这两段对话，耶稣跟他弟兄的对话和耶稣对跟众人和这个犹太当局的对话，要向当时的听众，第一世纪的听众表达什么？
And so these two conversations, one with Jesus' brothers and the other with the people, have one central message.
对我们今天活在异时代的人，又是什么样的意思？
And it also has a meaning for those of us living in today's time.
你如果刚刚注意那些字幕的时候，看这段经文的时候，因为哑巴，你很容易注意这些。你有没有注意到这段经文关系到两个很重要的事情
？So if you were paying attention and you were reading the subtitles up there on the screen, there was two main themes being discussed.
是信心和知识的关系，或者信心和认知的关系。
That is the relationship between faith and understanding.
这是一个古老常新的问题。
This is a very old question.
你看，当耶稣的弟弟叫耶稣去京城去过节的时候
，Because Jesus' brothers wanted him to go up to attend the festival.
在介绍这段理由之后，耶稣给了一个他们为什么让耶稣去过节的理由，说是因为他们不信耶稣。
And the reason they told him these things was because They did not themselves did not believe.
不相信耶稣的真实的身份和耶稣基督的作为。
They did not believe his identity or his acts.
那第三到第五节这样说，说你离开这里上犹太去吧，叫你的门徒也看见你所行的事。人要扬名，显扬名是没有在暗处行事的。你如果行这些事，就当将自己显明给世人看，因为连他的弟兄说这话是因为不信他。
You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one wants to become a public figure. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him.
所以这里讲到人的不信会导致一个错误的认知结论。
And so a person's belief can lead to a misinterpretation of their understanding.
后面那一段就是耶稣跟当局的对话，焦点是涉及到耶稣基督教导的资格和权柄的问题。
And then the next conversation discussed under what authority Jesus has to preach the things that he does.
许多犹太人都不相信，也不接受耶稣就是基督、弥赛亚这个认知。
Many of the Jews did not believe, nor did they accept that Jesus was in fact the Messiah.
这就引出一个很重要的问题。
And so a very important question came up.
真理的判别标准是什么？
On what basis do we judge what truth is?
你看这个耶稣上殿去教训人的时候，第十四节、第十五节就说到，犹太人就稀奇他，说这个人没有进过学堂，怎么能够明白这个书？然后耶稣说，我的教训不是我自己的，乃是那差我来的。
Because when Jesus was teaching, the people were amazed and said, "How did this man get such learning without having studied under?" A rabbi, and so Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own; it comes from the one who sent me."
换句话，如果我们看这两段对话，我们可以得到刚刚我提出来的问题，就是今天的核心的问题。这段经文是告诉我们信心和认知的关系。
And so these two these passages, what the central theme of these passages is the relationship between faith and understanding.
也跟整个约翰福音一脉相承的, 在第六章的时候讲到很多信心的问题。
And it continues from chapter 6 in talking about faith.
到了这个辩论结尾的时候, 变得这一点变得更加清楚, 如果你看你的经文第 28节, 第 29节。
So if you look at verses 28 and 29, it's made even more clear.
说那时耶稣在殿里教训人，大声说， 你们也知道我， 也知道我从哪里来。 说他们知道哈， 认识。 然后我并不是出于自己， 那是差我来的是真的， 但我差我来的是真的。 接下来说， 你们不认识他， 但是我认识他， 就跟知识有关系了。 因为我从他那里来， 他也是差了我来。
Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him and he sent me.
换句话说, 说得大一点, 今天谈的是一个知识论的, 古老的知识论的问题, epistemology.
So today, what's being discussed here is the theory of knowledge.
也就是关注人能知道什么。
Is how do we know what we know?
人在什么样根基上知道才是真的？
And how do we know that what we know is true?
然后人用什么方法达成认识是真实？
And how can we get the understanding that what we know is true?
当然很多人都认为这是一个哲学问题， 但是在我们日常生活中这种问题是屡见常见的。
This is not just a philosophical question, but a very practical one that we run into in our daily lives.
我怎么知道那个名牌那张车票那袋奶粉是真的？
How do I know that the car I drive or the milk I drink is the real deal?
怎么样识别真钞和伪钞? 标准是什么?
How do I know I'm spending a real bill or a counterfeit bill?
我们怎么样来识别真货假货, 好人坏人, 朋友还是敌人?
How can we distinguish between what is real and what is fake, what is true and what is false? Who is our friend and who is out to get us?
其实在我们信仰生活中这样问题也会出现。
And so even for those of us who are believers, this can become an issue in our lives.
无论是基督徒还是非基督徒, 我们都有类似的问题, 我们会问到, 我怎么知道圣经是真的?
And so especially in the matters of faith, how do I know that the Bible is true?
我怎么知道我是得救的人?
How do I know I'm saved?
在末世要复活的。
That I will become resurrected in the last day.
什么是真信心? 我怎么知道上帝对我人生的旨意和对我人生的引导?
What is true faith? How can I know God's will for my life?
甚至很多人非常的怀疑这个时代。 他说作为21世纪的人, 我们带着时代的问题, 带着时代的背景来读圣经, 我们认识上帝, 认识自己, 认识世界的时候, 我们真能够明白第一世纪, 或者更古老的圣经所说的跟我们今天有关吗?
And many people ask, we're already in the 21st century. How could we ever hope to understand the Bible, given that it was written thousands of years before any of us were ever born?
所以我们今天要看两段的问题，一个问题就是说信心和认知的顺服关系。
And so we must learn that the relationship between faith and understanding.
就是信心认知和顺服的关系。
And that faith and understanding can only come through obedience.
还有一个信心和认知跟标准的关系。
And faith and understanding helps us have a basis from which we can judge.
好，让我们来看前面这一段1到13节耶稣跟他弟弟的对话。
And so let's look again at the discussion between Jesus and his brothers.
在我们的日常生活中，我们都其实了解信心和认知之间彼此有一个相互促进或者相互减弱的一个互动。
That we know from our own experience that faith and understanding are very closely related.
你如果认识他, 你可能就更加了解他, 就更有信心, 对他更有信心。
The more you know someone, the more you are willing or unwilling to trust them.
你对他了解越少, 对他信心更少, 你对这件事情, 对这个人也就更加的弱。
And the less you know of someone, the less you're inclined to trust them.
包括耶稣的哥哥, 耶稣的弟弟和耶稣这个大哥之间的关系也是这样。
And so this is true of Jesus and his brothers.
所以我们先来看这个没有信心, 对耶稣有错误的信心, 带来的不顺服, 以致导致他对耶稣的一个错误的认知。
And so this lack of faith led to a lack of obedience and a lack of understanding.
你看耶稣, 在他的弟兄在准备过逾越节的时候，带着这个 donkey 准备进城的时候，跟耶稣说了一段话，这意味着什么呢？
And so Jesus, when Jesus' brothers were going into the Feast of Tabernacles, they went to talk to him.
啊，第三节他说：“你离开这里上犹太去吧，叫你的门徒也看见你所行的。”这个意思是说，当你做这个事儿的时候，他们会回来的。还记得第六章的时候，那帮人都走了。你现在要赢得这些观众，你要再去做一次 miracle。
So because remember in chapter 6, Jesus had said some very controversial things that had caused many of his followers to abandon him. So his brother said, well, go and make yourself known. Do something big and flashy so they'll follow you again.
那第四节他说人要扬名没有在暗处行的。如果行这些事就当当自己显明给世人看。说干大事你要先造身世。无论是舆论还是行为都要先造出身世来。
And so, you know, you're supposed to be making a name for yourself. You're not supposed to be, you know, hiding around in private.
注意，这里使徒约翰给了一个理由，说耶稣的弟弟，为什么这样对他说？
And so John here adds a little footnote explaining why they said these things to him.
这个理由是我们意想不到的。
And that this is the very...Almost hard to believe for us.
他们不是不了解耶稣，这是从小长大的。
It's not that they didn't know what kind of person Jesus was.
他们不是不了解，是因为不信。
It wasn't that they didn't know him. It was that they just flat out didn't believe.
他们因为不相信耶稣是弥赛亚，因此得出一个错误的结论和一个错误的知识。
And because they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah.They came to completely the wrong conclusion.
因为这个认知的偏差产生他们对耶稣的不顺服，耶稣现在的时间表他们不知道，他就不顺服他。
And so they were not willing to submit to Jesus' timeline because they had no idea.
所以导致了他前面这段话。所以前面那段话实际上我们知道它是一个认识论的问题，是一个信心错位的问题。
And so their understanding of Jesus was skewed by their disbelief.
我们也许不应该对耶稣的弟弟和妹妹有点苛扣哈。
And maybe we shouldn't be too tough on them.
因为他们跟耶稣一起长大的时候，接纳一个一起长大的人，在一个社区中一块玩的、一块打球的人，平起平坐很容易。
Because it's really easy. Sure, it's easy to get along with somebody if you've been with them, you grow up with them, you play with them, you interact with them on a daily basis.
但是让他做国家元首、做一国的元勋，不一定。
But you know, if suddenly your next door neighbor is going to become the leader of the leader of your country or some kind of big name guy, it's really hard to accept.
男的是承认他是一个超人，全然不同的人。
And it would be even harder to admit that he's somebody completely different from the rest of humanity.
你们小朋友都看过 Superman 对不对？那个 Lois and Clark, remember that?
So you're all aware of the Superman mythos.
平常戴眼镜，然后在出征的时候不戴了，对吧？穿的衣服不一样。
So when he's in his civilian disguise, he wears a disguise. He carries himself very meekly. You could never tell.
所以你其实看到耶稣的弟弟和妹妹对耶稣的看法，基本就是说是一个 Clark， 不是一个 Superman。
And so when they see Jesus, they see it affects Clark Kent.
所以他们没有办法承认耶稣是一个弥赛亚，完全的上帝，完全的人。
So for them to accept that this guy could be the Messiah, could be God himself in human flesh.
当然后来我们都知道，当耶稣基督受死复活之后，雅各他的弟弟老大，就是老二，他就是不是他就信主了，成为当时的教会的最重要的领袖之一。
But we do know that later, at least one of Jesus' brothers, the disciple Jude, he became one of the believers.
所以在耶稣基督没有公开传道之前，我相信玛利亚对这个其他的弟弟妹妹的关于耶稣基督的身份的教导可能不是很多。
So Mary probably didn't share a lot of what she knew about Jesus with the other siblings.
这段是奥秘的事情，我不知道，圣经记载也非常少。
And of course, the Bible doesn't really say what she, you know, about much about Jesus' childhood.
但就我们记载的时候，其中很重要的一个原因就是不想引时间表没有到，不要引起辱杀的事件再次发生。
But I'm sure about, she also understood that Jesus had his own timeline. That if things happened too quickly, that he would get killed before the time.
记得吧，耶稣降生的时候， 希律把两岁以下的所有的儿童都杀了，因为说有一个弥赛亚王降生了。如果这全村加利都知道的话呢，这是很大的一个灾难可能会发生在那个时候。神的时间表没有到。
When Jesus was just born, he had barely avoided being killed along with all of the children under 2 years old because Herod had ordered them their death, hearing that a king was going to come out of Galilee.
我不知道你有没有那样的经历，就是你突然你长大以后，你不认识你的哥哥和弟弟，哎呦，我哥哥这么能干，或弟这么能干，你突然有一个不同的眼光，你有没有这样的事？很少哈。这个但是就是他们这个弟兄有这样的问题。And
so all of a sudden, this big brother that they lived with for so many years is almost like a completely different person to them.
所以当耶稣开始公开传道的时候，他们都好像是被迫卷入的。And
so once Jesus began his public ministry, they were always kind of at the peripheral, that they didn't really want to get involved unless they were being forced to.
名人的这个亲戚不是很好做。It's
hard to be the relative of a famous person.
你想想，如果我们中间 I know Gideon's people here, 他们 maybe they're millionaire, I don't know. Because Gideon almost a businessman to dispute the Bible. But if you are happened to their relatives, you had a hard time. Okay, sorry, I'm just interrupted. But 有一件很重要的事情，就是说他们卷入就真有这个尴尬的场面。
And so, you know, and the Bible does record a couple of instances where they were in some very embarrassing circumstances.
比如说在马可福音第三章，当耶稣在传道的时候，耶稣的母亲和弟兄就被叫来了。
And so one of the times Jesus was preaching in Mark chapter 3 verse 31, Jesus' mothers and his brothers came to get him.
然后呢，许多人都在听耶稣讲道的时候呢，有人就说：“哎，耶稣，你母亲来了，你弟兄找你呢。”
And so they sent people to get him, and so they told him, "Hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you."
OK， 你知道，耶稣在家里的时候都是听话的哈，但是有的时候小的时候也知道我为我的父神为念，所以这个时候是一个权柄的问题。你看耶稣回答的时候，使得这两个弟兄和妈妈有点难堪的。耶稣的回答说：“谁是我的母亲，谁是我的弟兄？”然后看了一大堆之后就说：“顺服天父旨意的人就是我的弟兄，就是我的母亲。”干脆一个六亲不认，对吧
？And so Jesus' answer was very shocking for the time because he said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" And looking around at the people sitting close to him, he said, "Those who obey God's will are my brothers and sisters and mother."
所以这类的讲论，我可以想象，一定让这个耶稣的弟兄感受一个完全不同的耶稣在家中不同的一位。And
so this was nothing like the Jesus they knew.
所以这种张力也可能是这种两个不同的耶稣，这种固有的外貌和现在不熟悉的耶稣的这个教导和他做的事，导致了对他们的。 哥哥耶稣的不信任，不交托。And
so for them, it was inconceivable that Jesus could be something more than just, well, he's big bro.
他没办法把耶稣放进他原来对他的认知体系里。He cannot put Jesus in his box. I'm sorry, yeah. OK, 所以这样的一个缘故呢，你 我们谈到耶稣的神人二性啊，道成肉身啊，等等这些，都让他们觉得这是一个很离奇的事，所以他们提出两个理由，就刚刚我们读到的。And
so all they could, so they for them this is the whole mystery of the incarnation or you know God and man being fully God and fully man. It didn't even cross their minds. The only thing they could think about was, well, you're trying to go make a name for yourself.
对，所以你就应该行很多的神迹吸引人，或者要在名城在名处做出你的手段。这也就是说，换句话说，这两个他们的弟兄就是对耶稣的期待，就像我们说的军事的弥赛亚，或者说政治的弥赛亚，或者说经济的弥赛亚。So
they took Jesus to be another one of those people who were trying to stand up and you know become some kind of political or military leader because at that time wannabe messiahs were you know you could trip over one crossing the street.
很类似，所以你看其他的人对耶稣的信心跟他们也是对耶稣有一个不同的认识。在耶稣这个期间正在节期最后去的时候，犹太人找耶稣 说他在哪里，众人都纷纷议论。第十二节说，有的人说他是好人，有的人说他不，他是一个那个迷惑众人的。
And so later on, when the authorities were looking for him, people started talking about Jesus, and their opinions of him were also divided. Some people thought he was a good man, and other people thought he was a liar.
所以如果你不认为是弥赛亚的时候呢，他做那些事的确是一个，就会得出这个结论，一定是这样。
Because if you don't believe in Jesus, then you can only come to the conclusion that he's some sort of liar.
Yeah, 所以错误的信心带来不顺服，然后会导致一个错误的结论。
And so a misplaced faith will lead to a wrong understanding.
但你看耶稣的时候呢？如果你看耶稣，他的真的信靠、真的顺服，会导致一个对整个上帝的。认知他自己是上帝，但是他这里头是绝对的顺服天父。
And so Jesus himself is the example of true faith leading to true understanding. Because even though he himself is also God, he completely submits himself to the Father.
对，耶稣为了避免犹太人灭他的计谋，没一开始去耶路撒冷，后来暗暗去，原因是什么？
And so Jesus avoided the crowds and he went to Jerusalem in secret.Why?
第六、第七节这样说，他说：“我的时候没有到，你们的时候常是方便的。世人不能恨你们，却是恨我，因为我指证他们所做的是恶的。你们上街去吧，我现在不想去过节，因为我的时候还没有满。”
And so Jesus told them, "The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify what it does is evil. You go to the feast."I am not yet going up to this feast because for me the right time has not yet come.
RTS 有一个很著名的教授，他叫 John Frame.
And so the Reformed Theological Seminary has a famous professor. His name is John Frame.
在他的主权神学系列中的知识论特别谈到认知是对上帝掌管的一个信靠和顺服。
And so in talking about how we know what we know, and one of the very important key factors is.Believing and trusting in the authority of God.
耶稣首先知道上帝的启示，也就是说他创造和救赎的计划，他认识到他自己死的时间没有到。
And so Jesus knew God's entire plan of redemption. He knew that his time had not yet.
不是因为怕死，不是因为怕犹太人，我的时候没有满。
It was not because he was afraid to die or that he was afraid of the authority.
这是一个信心。
But that his time had not yet come.
有时候我们不把耶稣当完全的人。
So this is a faith issue that sometimes it's hard for us to remember that Jesus was still fully human.
接下来做了一个信心的决定，说我现在不去上去公开的过节。
But then here he made a decision in faith. He says, "I'm not going right now."
他跟他的弟兄做了一个对比，他说：“你们生活方式是按你们自己方式行事的，暗示说他们不认识上帝的计划，任意行事。”
That Jesus told his brothers, "You guys are free to come and go as you please because you don't." No God, you don't submit to God's authority.
然后你们呢也没有也指出个人世人的恶行来，所以别人不会找你麻烦的，他会找我的，因为我说，因为顺服父神的旨意，指出世人的恶来。
But because I believe in God and I in submission to God's authority point out the evil in the world will hate me.
所以因耶稣的信心和举动，他的顺服导致了世人要杀他。
And so because of Jesus.Submission to God's authority, the people of the world all are out to kill him.
你可以想象今天基督徒多少人不受迫害，是因为并不是因为不顺服神，很多都是因为没有顺服神，然后我们不受迫害。如果你去真正顺服神，肯定受迫害。
So you know, if you as a Christian haven't experienced persecution, it's probably because you're not in submission to God's will.
我现在不去耶路撒冷，不是我怕死，而是我上十字架的时间没到。
That Jesus here does not go up to Jerusalem not because he's afraid to die.
关于这个时间到没到，我觉得很有意思。你们经常会想一想，你们的生活中怎么安排你的时间
？And so this repetition of the time is I find very interesting because all of us are always struggle with how to schedule our time.
凤霞就说：“牧师，自从你儿子上大学以后，你来这个办公室越来越晚了。”
And I always get grief because my son's going to college, so I'm always late to the office every morning.
我按我的时间表，不是按原来别人的时间表。
And so I have to In following my own time, I make it very inconvenient for other people.
我们中间也是一样的，你什么时候进来敬拜，你如果有服事的时候，你是不是提前一刻钟来，提前半个小时来？
And so it's the same here that, you know, if you have to serve here, that you're expected to arrive at least half an hour to an hour early.
我们按自己的时间表总是很容易，按别人很困难。
It's easy to follow our own schedule.
这是一个信心的事情，是一个顺服的事情。
It's an issue of faith and an issue of submission.
那我知道我们今天要打乒乓球了，对不对？
And we have a ping pong tournament later today.
那你也可以拿这件事情放的时间对不对来想，我也在想这个问题。
And so this is also a very also a timing issue too.
那我觉得总体时间是对的，就比如说没有跟我们的圣诞节啊、复活节啊那些东西冲哈，你练诗都可以，也没有跟我们的这个领袖训练冲突。
And so we had to be sure that it didn't conflict with any of the other thing, you know, any of the major holidays or any of the special classes or training sessions.
对，但是当你想是一个团契杯的时候，你希望给弟兄姐妹有足够的时间来团契，能够邀请新的朋友来，能够自己很好的一段时间预备。我们没有给人足够的时间，
but,
对不对？
And maybe on the other hand, maybe we didn't give enough people enough time to prepare and invite people.
And, 安杰肯定想你把我支走，然后你开会之前你可以打。好 ，anyway， 所以呢，还有一个，但是我感谢主，就是申超和这个，就这件事来说，申超和这个朱翔做了很多的工作。昨天比如说申超打电话问了所有有多少队，你知道他很有爱心来考虑这个比赛。我们有时候做事就按自己时间表，我们自己打的痛快。他一想，如果是八个队的话，按我们原来想的这个单循环要打几个小时，你知道吗？我算了，他打了一下，他说打八个小时才能十六个，打六个小时才能撅出来的，八个队参赛，所以只有两张桌子嘛。那你还有一种，那干脆就打单淘汰，他一上来就单淘汰，那是本来高兴来打球的人，打一场输就回家了，这也多沮丧，对不对？所以最后我就去 Google 一下，告诉他说有一个瑞士打法哈，瑞士象棋这么比赛的。我们那个我觉得结论很好，很有爱心，申超也说这个结论特好，打出八轮以后第一天哈，决出可以进入决赛两名，也可以淘汰后面两名，让那些特想打技术不高的人呢，下一个星期还可以再打，就是第四和第六名哈。所以我觉得这个是申超的一个爱心，你知道吧？不是他的 table， 他的 table 每天都可以打，对不对？星期天不是每天，就是星期天可以打，星期三可以打。但是呢，你就意识到说，一个做一件事情的时候，是我自己的 table 还是众教会的 table 还是上帝的 table， it's make a big difference in your life。你在家里你怎么样对你妻子，对待你的儿女，你就知道我说的意思。就不会像朱翔跟我们讲说我们打一个月哈，他说的 email 打一个月给人吓一跳哈。OK， 好，我们
you got really really ahead of me there.
OK， sorry， this is that's OK， that was a ping pong tournament. We just try to illustration what's going on.
Well, don't worry about it. It's not relevant.
所以我们看到信心认知彼此之间。有一个顺服，有一个认知更强的一个增强的过程，或者一个减弱的过程。
And so in faith and understanding, when we submit to our that faith and that understanding, it has a profound effect in our life.
我们看下一段，这是信心认知跟标准的关系。
That and then the next thing we look at is.Understanding faith and understanding as the basis of judging other things.
这里头不是在这段里头并没有把顺服的成分去掉，而是更加强调对真理的权柄的认识，对权威的顺服。
And that so the issue here is submission to authority.
他仍然把信心和认知跟标准联系起来，对这个标准的顺服联系起来。
And so that our faith and our understanding will lead
14到31节
to a submission to the right standards.
当你翻到这段经文的时候，你在思想我们今天的生活，我们不是活在一个相信权威的时代。
Nowadays, we do not believe in authority.
我们是在一个相信专家的时代。
But we believe in experts.
每一个专业都有一个专家。
That there are experts in every field of expertise.
你要在你的这个行业里头有影响力，你一定是要有一个学术的训练，我们称为 credential.
And so, if you want to have influence in any field, you have to have the right credentials.
我最近去对我们家的房子做一个 refinance.
So, I want to have my mortgage refinanced.
我突然发现跟过去不一样，他要问你受过多少年的教育。
So, I was very shocked that they, one of the questions they asked me was how many years of education I had.
所以连贷款都问你喝多少墨水，打了多少字。
So even the financial companies want to know how much education you have.
这就是为什么当你看耶稣到殿上去训人的时候，去教训人的时候，犹太人就稀奇。有的时候说他这个人没有进过学堂，竟然有这么多的知识。这边的是反的，说没有进过学文，没有进过神学院，没有在加里利门下受训，怎么能够明白圣经呢？就是。
So Jesus went to teach the people, and this amazed them because in their tradition, for somebody to become a rabbi, they had to have many years of training in a synagogue or under a famous rabbi. And Jesus didn't have any of those credentials. He just came out and preached. And so they're like, who is this guy?
那么人的知识来源在哪里呢？
So where does people's knowledge come from?
感谢上帝，现代人在知识的这个上面有突飞猛进，尤其在科学知识。
We people living in the modern times, we've had an explosion of knowledge, especially in technology and science.
17, 19世纪的这个经验科学、实验科学，整个带来了整个的变迁。
And so the experiments of the 17th or 19th century completely broke through the old way of thinking.
对，脱离了亚里士多德的这种纯逻辑的推理。
That it broke through the old ways of learning via logical deduction.
啊，同时也不是简单的回到柏拉图的唯心主义。
But it's not just well, it's true because I believe it's true.
我们今天的人类的学习基本是一个累积的过程，第一步累积，整个20年、30年可能都是学习前人的发现，接受知识为主。
And so we spend the majority of our life learning what other people learned in the past.
然后之后你才可能进入探索或者实验的认知。
And it was only after that that we can start breaking new ground.
但是今天的人有一个很大的误区，就是说什么是导致科学发现和发展成为可能的基础。
So we have, but now we have a very skewed understanding of what the basis for new discovery is.
完全忘记了现代科学是在基督教的这个根基上开始。
We've completely forgotten that the basis of modern science is actually rooted in Christianity.
包括很多的基督徒现在都不明白。
Maybe even the Christians themselves don't understand this.
这就是基于上帝的创造和上帝的护理。
That it is because that the Christians believe.
我没有时间讲这个。
In God's creation and God's providence, but you know that's a whole other sermon right there.
但是就今天的问题来说，现在的问题是走向另一个极端，变成一个技术主义。
But anyway, the point is that now we're all just relying on the technical side.
C.S. Lewis 做一个非常精辟的说法，道破这个时代的问题。
So, you know, in talking about today's world, C.S. Lewis had this to say.
他说有一种东西是融合了魔法和现代技术，但是又将这两者跟古老的智慧区别开来。
That is something.It's almost like a combination of a magic and technology that it, and it's also different from the ancient knowledge.
对古代的智者来说呢，人生主要的问题是如何通过叫人变得跟客观现实更加一致。Confirm humanity with objective creation. 然后还有一个问题呢，今天的，那所以解决的办法在当时就是用智慧。美德来实践。
So in the old days, how we reconcile our human nature with the objective, what we understand, our subjective reality with what actually is, was through wisdom and ethical behavior.
而对现代人来说呢，人生的主要问题是怎么样客观的现实变得更跟人的愿望一致。
But now,What we want to do is we want to change the objective reality so that it suits our subjective feelings.
这并不是所有都是错的，但是你就要走一个极端。你知道我们今天有一个说法，比如说 user friendly.
Today, what the flavor of the day now is everything has to be user friendly.
真的，我们是迷信技术的时代。
And we are.
不一定是迷信科学。
And we are a society that worships technology and convenience.
什么是人知识的来源？
What is the source, the ultimate source of knowledge?
耶稣基督在16到18节说出今天人类在寻求认知的过程中有一个迷失的地方，就是知识是受制于上帝的权柄，这件事情我们失掉。
So we have forgotten that true knowledge comes from submitting to God's authority.
你看16节耶稣说，我的教训不是我自己的，乃是差我来者的。
My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me.
像中国人说的天一样。曾几何时我们在寻求知识的时候忘记了上帝掌管和上帝存在本身是一个重要的事实。
That many times in our lives we forget that the fact that God exists and that he is in charge of everything is, you know, that's the basis for everything.
除此之外我们更是忘记了上帝对我们所有的认知知识具有最高的权柄。
And that God has the ultimate authority in all knowledge.
我的教训不是我自己的，乃是那差我来者的。
My teaching is not my own, but from the one who sent me.
所以圣经中当我们谈到知识认知的时候或者总体知识都是跟上帝的公义慈爱怜悯连在一起的。
So all of the teaching of the Bible all have to do with the character of God himself.
会从整体的意义上来看对上帝的认识对人的认识对世界的认识是不可分的。
So knowledge of God is inseparable from knowledge of people and knowledge of the world.
我举一个例子，比如说你要想明白一个牛怎么样产生牛奶的过程。
If you want to understand how a cow produces milk,
你会越练越多的，你要知道它怎么样消化，知道草怎么长，知道怎么这个牛奶怎么样产生的。
The more you study, the more fields that you have to learn. You have to learn not only about the cow's own biology, but also that of the grass.
所以如果把这个问题每个揪深下去的话，你可以问到所有的问题 ，all connected.
So once you get to the bottom of everything, you find that a whole bunch of apparently irrelevant details are actually all connected.
第十八节耶稣说到人的问题，他说人的问题是自我中心的问题，人凭自己说不是求自己，那凭自己说的是求自己的荣耀，唯有求那差他来者的荣耀，这人是真的，他心里没有不义。
That he who speaks of his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him.
所以当我们不把荣耀归给上帝的时候，以自己来作为衡量人事物上帝的时候，求任何独立上帝之外的自我荣耀的时候，耶稣说这就是不义。
So what Jesus calls unrighteousness is when we reject the authority of God and live according to our own whim.
在二十四节说的很重要的判断真理的标准，他说不可按着外貌来断定是非，总要按着公平断是非。
Stop judging by mere appearances, verse 24, and make a right judgment.
这里不是我们通常讲的 fairness, 是讲要按上帝的标准来做 judge。 我们刚刚祷告的时候讲到上帝是审判者，他是来判定万事的标准来做是非的判断。
So this is not just about by the standards of, you know, fairness, but the standards of God himself.
为什么人不能按人的标准来判断呢？
Why can we not judge other people according to our own standards?
最近在国内很流行一个都愿意看 Harvard 的这个法学院的教授讲的公正，如何做的才是对，是好。你们有没有看过这篇十二篇？你们都看别的了，这很有意思。他是讲到一个道德和政策哲学的一门课，有上千的学生必须要听，这是公共关系课，他每个人都要去听的。
So you know nowadays there's an ethics course that's very popular overseas.
这个 Sander 呢，他讲课的时候总是问一些问题，把人让你做原来看起来很容易的决定，你变得非常困难。
So in one of the thought exercises he does is he'll ask you very piercing questions to make you really rethink the way you make decisions. That things that seemed to be really straightforward on the surface, all of a sudden become very complicated.
我就不举例子了。不管怎么样，他透过伦理的问题揭示一些内心或者背后的假设，最后让人发现人道德上的矛盾之处。
And the point of this exercise is so that we can see that we actually have many contradictory standards when we're making decisions.
但就对上帝的认知来言，在这段里头我们发现是信心和真认知，实际上是对上帝标准的一个顺服。
That, but in understanding, in submitting to God's,
读十七节，你看，人若立志遵行他的旨意行的时候呢，就必晓得这个教训出于神，或者凭我自己说的。他说你现在顺服遵行的时候呢，你就可以晓得这是真理。
Because when Jesus says, if you submit to this authority, then you know it is truth.
所以 Fram 他对这个知识论有一个非常重要的贡献。
And so in the theory of knowledge, there was a very important contribution.
非常重要的 contribution from John Fram. 他提到五点，我很快跟大家讲。他说第一个是我们都知道的，就是说对上帝的认知会产生出顺服。
That knowledge, true knowledge of God leads to obedience.
所以我们如果是上帝的儿女，我们是上帝的朋友，必然要顺服他，寻求他。越认识上帝就变得越顺服上帝，越接近上帝就变得越像上帝自己。
So the more we seek of God, the more we submit to His authority, the more we will know of Him, and the more we know of Him, the more we submit to Him and will be made into His image.
但是问题人经常的停在这儿，你注意第二个，对上帝的顺服本身会导致认知的一个新的认知，这是我们经常忽略的。
And that, but submission to God will should also lead to new knowledge. It's something that we often neglect.
这是第一点的一个正反馈。
That this is also the other side of the coin of the first point.
你不相信，你去试一下。
If you don't believe me, give it a shot.
你看周报里各种各样的祷告，你开始试验祷告。
You know, try. If you see the prayers in our pamphlets, you know, try those prayers.
那比如说里头说我们这个建堂奉献少了，你去实践一下，看看神是不是真的赐福你。
So you know, if maybe in you know if you see well the that the funds are running low for the church, that maybe, you know, maybe God's put it in your heart to submit to His authority in a certain way.
人生不光是知道的越多就变得越有智慧，而是往往是遵行之后在认知上有一个另一个不同的成长。
In understanding God isn't just beneficial to your knowledge, but that it changes, He transforms you in a completely different way.
比如说你已经觉知信主了，你受洗和不受洗是一个不同的结果。
That perhaps you know that when you first became a believer, that decision to become baptized was an issue that came out of understanding and submitting to God's authority.
这个的顺服会导致一个对基督徒生活的新的认知。
And so this it'll lead to a new understanding of how you're supposed to live your life.
接下来他更进一步，第三点他讲的顺服本身是一种认知，认知就是顺服。
That submitting to God.
没听说过吧？
Submitting to God's authority is
understanding. 你妈经常这样讲事。
And understanding is also submission.
对不对？我跟我儿子要讲说，你听见了，打扫房子，听见了，知道了，一句没有。我说 ，You didn't hear it. 对吧
？So, you know, we as parents, we run into this problem a lot.
换句话说，在圣经中，你如果来搜的时候，你发现顺服不仅是一个认知的结果，而是认知的一个组成部分。
That it's not that listening.It's not enough to just listen, but to also obey.
没有顺服就没有认知。
That if you do not have an obedience, then you do not truly
have knowledge. No obedience, no knowledge. 没有认知也就没有顺服。
If you do not understand God, then you will not submit to Him.
第四，很有意思的第四，注意哈，他说因此顺服成为一个认知的标准 ，criteria of the knowledge.
And so.Submitting to God's authority becomes the criteria for which we know Him.
我刚刚已经读过第十七节，再读一遍。人若立志遵行他的旨意，就必晓得的教训出于神。
That if the people are willing to submit to God's authority, then they will know that I'm telling the truth.
也就是说，我们确定一个人是否认识上帝的时候，不仅确定他是不是长老或者小组长的时候，不仅是给他一套圣经的知识测验。
And so in testing whether or not somebody knows God, we don't just see, well, how many Bible verses they can memorize.
我们还会考察他的人生。
But we also look at their lives.
因为在圣经里说到恶人等同于无神论的人。
That those who do evil are those who do not know God in their hearts.
这里讲的不是理论性的认知，是讲的实际的。
That, and this is not just in the abstract, but in the concrete.
因为上帝实际的参与人生的每一个层面， 社会的是一个每一个层面在世界中掌权。
Because God himself participates in all aspects of life.
因此当我们对他忽略无知的时候，就是不承认他在我们中间做参与做掌权的工作。
So if we neglect that, then we are rejecting his participation in our
life. 当我们这样做的时候呢，这种不顺服就导致一种无知，这种无知就导致一个错误的认知。
And by doing so, we cut ourselves off from that knowledge of God. In our ignorance, we reject Him.
当人不顺服上帝和他启示为最高标准的时候，导致人在认识论、知识论上整个的一个走向反面。
And so, in rejecting God's authority, our entire life should go completely the opposite direction.
大多熟悉箴言吗？敬畏耶和华是知识的开端，认识至圣者便是聪明，就在讲这件事。
And so, you know, the Proverbs in saying,Fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge. That's what this is talking about.
整个二十五到三十一节结束的时候，你可以看到说，他们对耶稣就说要杀耶稣，说这当官的都不知道耶稣不是弥赛亚，你们为什么不处理他？他们不认识耶稣，这是第一个哈，不认他。接下来你看，他们又开始说，那怎么？
And so the people discussing Jesus, this is isn't this the guy they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking in public, and they're not saying a word to him.Have the authorities really concluded he is the Christ?
对，第二十八节可以看到耶稣继续教训说，你们知道我是谁，然后但是呢，你们不认识我，我认识上帝，你们不认识上帝，所以最后他说，耶稣说你们不接纳我的是一件事情，是不接纳上帝的教导。耶稣讲过说上帝说弥赛亚来，所以你不接纳我是不接纳圣经的教导，导致最后就不认识上帝。所以这里有一个很重要，对权威圣经权威的不顺服，最后就导致人不认识上帝。
And so Jesus points out very accurately that you reject me because you do not submit to God's authority. Because if you knew, you claim to know who I am, but you, and yet you still do not believe in me.
你看，如果继续往下看第三十节，就会讲到说，人没有办法下手。刚刚进影片里你也看到，他的时间没有到，包括整个上帝是掌管耶稣上十字架的时间。
And they had wanted to arrest him at that time, but nobody could lay a hand on him because it was not his time.
所以因此杨帆有一个结论，这个结论就是从对上帝的权柄知识中间这个顺服到了一个阶段，他说人类的一切知识都应该是 servant knowledge, 都是一个 servant knowledge.
And so all of our knowledge is a kind of servant knowledge, a submission to authority.
就是说不应该是独立于上帝之外的认识，当我们寻求上帝的时候，最重要的一个出发点或者一个前设就是上帝的圣经，他的话，耶稣基督是我们最高的启示。
And that in all pursuit of knowledge, that God himself is the ultimate source of that knowledge.
我知道这会让很多人不舒服。
That this probably makes a lot of people very uncomfortable.
但这是 by faith.
But this is something that you have to, you really have to.
判断所有的事物的终极的标准不是实践。
That it's not enough to just have the Ten Commandments as the basis of.
甚至都实践实践出真知，不是实践出真知。
What?
Not by practice you find knowledge.
Oh, okay, sorry.
有一个先设性。
Then it's not from it's not from that knowledge or from your experience.Or from any kind of presuppositions.
换句话说，对上帝的认知一定要按着顺服的方式来寻求，你就真寻到他。
That in seeking God, we have to seek God with a heart of submitting to His authority.
所以英文有一句话，如果你要想认识上帝，要了解上帝，你必须在上帝之下。
And so there's a saying in English: If you want to understand God, you have to stand under God.
Yeah, 所以这件事情就是在表明这个顺服在人的认知过程的重要。对上帝的绝对权威的顺服。
And that, so the importance of that absolute submission, obedience to God's authority to our lives.
好了，我们今天已经要结束了。看了这段经文。
And so, through this passage,
我们看到了信心和认知的关系中间，真知识的获得和对真知识权柄的顺服有着密切的关系。
And so there's a very direct relationship between true knowledge and the submission to that knowledge.
一方面，真的认知可以产生信靠，产生顺服，导致更好的认知。
True understanding leads to obedience.
啊，对。
And
对上帝的顺服会导致一个认知。
And obedience to God leads to more understanding.
另一方面呢， 因为顺服本身就是一个认知的表达，所以认知就是顺服。
And because submission to authority in itself is a manifestation of knowledge, of true understanding, then obedience itself is understanding.
因此，顺服就成为了一个认知的一个标准。
And so obedience to God becomes that the standard for true understanding.
对上帝的认知一定要按着顺服的方式来寻求。
That we seek God by obeying His will.
想一想是很简单的。
It's very simple on paper.
没有谁比上帝知道的更多。
Because nobody knows more than God.
比他知道的更完备。
And nobody knows more about anything than God.
虽然信主的人并不是绝对的知道，并不是全知。
And even as Christians, we cannot possibly understand everything about God.
但是不意味着我们在关键的问题上我们不知道，我们不确定。
But we will never be lacking in anything in those key moments in our life.
就是因为他给了我们这个启示，我们可以真知道他，知道这个世界。
Because he
has
given us the revelation that we not only can know him, but also of the world of other people and of ourselves.
请大家打开约翰一书，讲到这段很重要的经文。约翰一书三章一节，我们念完就做今天的结束。
Let us close with a reading from 1 John chapter 3 verse 1.
大家找到我们一块来念约翰一书。
Let us read together 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2.
这是约翰在约翰福音之后再次讲到真理和认知的关系，我们将来怎么样信心和认知产生的关系。
So John here talks again about truth, knowledge, and obedience.
约翰一书三章一节。
1 John chapter 3 verse 1.
你看父赐给我们是何等的慈爱，使我们得称为神的儿女。我们一块来念。Did you got it? 约翰一书第三章一节。我们一块来念哈，如果你有英文就念英文好了。
How great is the love of God the Father has lavished on us,
使我们得称为神的儿女，我们也真是他的儿女。世人所以不认识我们，是因为曾认识他。第二节，亲爱的弟兄啊，我们现在是神的儿女，将来如何还未显明，但我们知道
But we know
主若显现
that when he
我们必要像他，因为必得见他的真体。
我们
一块来祷告。
Let us pray.
天父，我们来谢谢你。
Father, we thank you.
你是永恒的真道。
You are that eternal truth.
真理的源头。
And the source of all truth.
你也是有权柄决定真理。
And you are the standard from which all truth emerges.
你也是启示真理给你的儿女。
And you reveal that truth to your children.
你也是那位让我们认出你是主的上帝。
And you have led us to know you.
把真光赐给这个教会。
And you have given your light to this church.
让我们因着你的道产生顺服。
That because of your word, we let us be able to submit to it.
因着我们的顺服，我们就更加认识你的道。
So that we can know you more.
让我们对耶稣基督的认识
and so that in knowing Jesus,
可以更好的来服侍你
and that we can serve you better,
服侍众人
and serve the people.
因主的名祷告
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.